Today is Easter Sunday. The epistle for this Mass is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians. Brethren, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new dough, as you really are without leaven. For Christ our Passover has been sacrificed. Therefore, let us keep festival, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Please stand for the gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. Mark, chapter 16, verses 1 to 7. At that time, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices that they might go and anoint Jesus. And very early on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had just risen. And they were saying to one another, "Who will roll back the stone from the entrance of the tomb for us?" And looking up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back, for it was very large. And on entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting at the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were amazed. He said to them, "Do not be terrified. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. Behold the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he goes before you into Galilee. There you shall see him as he told you." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So we have the great fortune and privilege to have you with us this year. The liturgy of the Holy Mother of the Church continues regardless, but not always having the faithful present. So it's wonderful to have you here this year, and some of you for the second time on this feast. But for those of you who were not able to come to the Easter Vigil, which is long and it's late at night, early morning, we don't want you to miss out on the essential part, well, our Lord rising from the dead, but for us, because we've had two baptisms last night. So you can think of, everyone can think of, if you were an adult, you can remember your own baptism. If not, you can reflect on what happened to you the day you were baptized. And just after the baptism, and we had two catechumens, now neophytes, then everyone who has witnessed, who has spent Lent as a catechumen, as a penitent, everyone, and that means all of you, hear the following words before you renew your baptismal promises. And so that's what you're going to do right now. So the priest says to everyone, "My dearest brethren, Holy Mother Church, recalling the death and burial of our Lord Jesus Christ, watches during this most holy night and loves him in return. At the same time, she celebrates his glorious resurrection and gladly rejoices. For the Apostle teaches us that we are indeed buried together with Christ by baptism unto death, that as Christ is risen from the dead, so we also ought to walk in newness of life. We know that our old man has been crucified with Christ, that we may serve sin no longer. Let us then reckon that we are dead to sin, but alive unto God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, my dearest brethren, now that the Lenten observance is over, let us renew the vows of our holy baptism, by which we have old renounced Satan and his works, and also the world, which is the enemy of God, and promised to serve God faithfully in the Holy Catholic Church. Therefore, and you can in your heart answer, as the people did aloud at the vigil, do you renounce Satan? We do renounce him. And all his works, we do renounce them. And all his pomps, we do renounce them. Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth? We do believe. Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was born and who suffered? We do believe. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the remission of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting? We do believe. And then the priest invites everyone to join him in saying the Our Father. And after that, the priest says, and may Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has caused us to be born again by water and the Holy Spirit, and granted us the remission of sins, himself keep us by his grace in the same Christ Jesus our Lord unto eternal life. Amen. Okay? All of the sins of our past we have done penance for during Lent. We have followed the strict practices that Holy Mother Church has given us. We have prayed, we have studied, and now this is telling us we must continue. This is just the opening of the new life, the life that takes us to heaven. So no one, please, it's one of the things that happens, it's human nature. We key up, we achieve that moment, we make it to Easter, and then we start to fall off. But every time that God reminds you through your guardian angel, come back. It doesn't matter how we fall, it's how high we bounce from the fall. How much we come back with courage. Yes, we admit our weakness, but we come back. That's what God wants. That's what the saints are. That's what St. Mary Magdalene, she comes to mind immediately because why? She's the first, her name begins today's gospel. Mary Magdalene End. And of course we have her statue in the back. And the gospel goes on to say, the angel, don't forget our guardian angels teaching us how to pray and reminding us, here's the guardian angel of the tomb, guarding the tomb. And he tells them, go, he has risen, as he told you. Go and, he's telling St. Mary Magdalene and the holy women, go and tell the disciples and Peter. He is singled out. Why is he singled out? Well, he is the head of the apostles and all of that. But he is the one who said, if everyone else fails you, I will not. And we know he did fail. So we're pointing out these people who are so much like us. St. Mary Magdalene, St. Peter. Failing, now in St. Peter's case, because he relied on himself. That was his big mistake. That's our mistake often. He relied on himself. And so our Lord is telling him, the angel telling the ladies to tell St. Peter, all is forgiven. And we'll see that later in this day as it comes out, as the story of Easter is revealed over these days of the Paschal season. Now, we want to say several things in this talk. First of all, we want to acknowledge, we look over at the Blessed Virgin Mary, because if you see in your missal, the stational church, the place where all of the universal church meets to celebrate this Easter Sunday Mass, is at the Basilica of St. Mary Major. So we gather with the Blessed Mother, and we'll talk about that in a second. But as we are reminded of that, we also reminded that there are often more, there's not as many, we maybe had more of the children come last night, but usually they come to this Mass. So we want to say something to everybody, but especially to people who may be just coming to their first Mass, Easter Mass, and thinking and seeing things. First, I want to point out to you this beautiful vestment. This is a solemn set. You saw the beautiful cope during the Vidi Aquam with on the back, if you probably could see the picture and not see the words, the Blessed Trinity, all involved with our Lord rising from the dead. But then look, can you see here? Who is here on the front of this Easter vestment? Can you see it's the Blessed Virgin Mary? Now, of course, on the back, you could see our Lord rising from the dead, the angels all around him. If you can see in detail, well, it's right here. Here's one of the angels. One of the seraphs, he's got six wings. His description coming right out of the Old Testament. We say their prayer of these six-winged seraphs every Mass with the Sanctus. Holy, holy, holy. We also want to draw your attention to the altar. And it's all festively attired. But these are some of the customs that flow from the liturgy. And the one we want to point out is the use of the Easter lilies. Why is that the one that is used? Now, we have many references in the Bible to our Lord as the lily of the field and all these things. But why here for Easter? Because they tell us when the plant, the lily plant, is a bulb placed into the ground, and the bulb dies so that the plant can grow. And when the plant reaches its height and maturity, it bursts out with these petals, forming a trumpet, announcing the resurrection as the angels are blowing the trumpets in great glory and triumph. That's that. You may be practicing some other things in your own homes, like Easter eggs, like the chocolate rabbit, bunny rabbit, the different meals that we can have, obviously lamb or ham from different countries they used. But the egg, why? Because it's the symbol of life, of birth. That's where the chick comes from. And it comes out of this hard shell, a tomb. It breaks out. It bursts forth. The rabbit, because in ancient times the people would see this, the greatness of the population of these rabbits. Life goes on. Our Lord did not die. He died, but he did not remain dead. All these things were taken by the early Christians and sanctified to remind us, even no matter what our age, of what we're celebrating. Now, we want to talk a little bit more about the Blessed Virgin Mary scripturally. We're talking liturgically, because that's the church we're at. The station today. When our Lord rose from the dead, no one saw that. And as we'll be told throughout Easter time, all of the details of what happened on this day, because our Lord was very busy today. By the way, the Mass is telling us, of course, that Christ has truly risen. So just to dispel any hateful things that you may have heard in supposed historical presentations and documentaries. Our Lord truly died. And of course, our Lord, knowing what would be in the future, to make sure that no one had any mistakes about it, so we didn't have to go by the testimony of people saying, oh, he is already dead, we don't have to break his legs. Because that's what they said at the time they went there. Go into the details of why and all that. We remember what our Lord let them do. They didn't break his legs. I'm not going to describe why they broke the people's legs to kill them. But he was already dead, so they did not break his legs, which was fulfilling a prophecy. But what did he do? The soldier took his lance, because our Lord was a distance from him on the cross, and he took it and drove it right into his heart. So there was no doubt, the coup de grace, to make sure he was dead. So first of all, he was dead. Now I'm stressing that because if you've heard, oh, he really didn't die. And when they put him into this cold tomb, that revived him. They try everything they can to undermine whatever our Lord did. Because this is his greatest miracle. This is the proof of his whole life. That everything he said was real. So don't fall for the lie. And we know who the father of lies is. We've renounced him. We do renounce him. So don't even listen to these fables. But no one was there when our Lord rose. He gave other proofs, and he had a busy day. That's why I went off on that tangent. That was another thing. For someone who did not die, in their theory, he did not die, but he was virtually mortally wounded. He did a lot of things on Easter Sunday. He was very busy for somebody who barely made it. So there's many reasons why their theory fails. But what did our Lord do at the stroke of midnight after he rose from the dead, glorious and immortal? He went to see his mother. Now, do we have that in the scripture? Yes and no. There are no words saying he rose from the dead and he went to see his mother. It does not say that for all the enemies. It's what the Holy Scriptures do not say that tell us. Our Blessed Mother was at every one of our Lord's major events of his life. His birth, of course, and culminating in his death. She stood at the foot of the cross. The Holy Spirit, through the evangelists, let us know everything about what she did in these important moments. But then, at this greatest moment, when he rises from the dead, the scriptures don't say anything. They do tell us that when all her companions, the Blessed Mother's companions at the foot of the cross, they all come this morning, we hear it, St. Mary Magdalene leading them, they all come, and Mary, the mother of James, is the Blessed Mother's own blood sister. So even her own sister, St. Mary Magdalene, all of these ladies come to anoint the body of our Lord in the tomb, and somebody is missing. Their leader, the Blessed Virgin Mary, is not there. Why? Because our Lord is with her. And we can leave up to our own and God's giving of knowledge what those moments were like. Okay, we have to, in the few minutes left, so we have to leave all those thoughts for you to seek out the Blessed Mother's help, our Lord's help, and telling you to the degree that they want. Because those are precious moments that we will never know. But we can imagine the power of that embrace. If you've ever been embraced in such a way that stands out in your mind, this must have been the greatest of those type moments. We want to also speak for a moment, especially for the brethren in the back, in the front too. This was a very special Holy Week, and for all of you, I'm sure, too. Very special Holy Week because we haven't had one for 2 years, like this. And fortunately for us, that is, the people who live here, we do not have dozens, hundreds, thousands of people. We have to do everything, and we love it. We do not have the altar servers here either, but to remember them too, they spent 5 hours practicing yesterday and then came back for the ceremony. How long was that? I don't know, 4 or 5 hours. Can we say that one of them was so overwhelmed they had to carry him out? But he came right back. And we remember many years ago telling somebody about this that did not come to this Mass. And the person saying, 5 hour practice? The wasn't said, but it was kind of implied. What kind of prison do you run on these people? And I asked them at that practice, that Holy Saturday morning, this is what somebody asked me. I just want to know what you think. The exuberance of the answer. They love it. They love the faith. They love the liturgy. And so many of us here, sitting here, have been part of it in the past. We heard one regretting seeing the ceremonies again, regretting he was not serving now. That's the heart of a server. By the way, that's all we want. We don't care how big or small, smart or not. All we want to know is that you've got the heart to be a server. That's all that counts. That person had the heart, still did. But for all of us, this Mass, and we don't have the time, if you're smart, ask our Father Superior to explain to you. He's already promised things he'll tell you. Ask him to explain this Mass. The beautiful introit. Our Lord speaking to his Father, saying, I have risen and I am still with you. He has always been with the Father and the Holy Ghost. But now, because of his coming among us to save us, we who put him to death, and we did our sins. He said, I was always with you, but now I have conquered and I have risen. I am coming back. I am coming back to you. And I'm coming back with a glorious human nature. And he goes on to talk about the great knowledge that you have. And I know because I am the Word. I am the Logos. I am your perfect expression of your knowledge. You put your hand upon me because I am the new Adam. I carry the sins of all of Adam's descendants, and your hand was heavy upon me. But I carried it. And now your hand turns and lifts me. You knew and you know when I am down, and you know when I am raised up. That's just the introit. And then we have St. Paul talking to us in the epistle, saying that Christ is our paschal sacrifice. And Holy Mother of the Church takes that, and you heard it, into the gradual, and singling out those words, and it's going to be repeated again later in the Mass. Christ is our paschal sacrifice. And if you were following the words during the chanting, how, again, the liturgists developing the music, all of the notes constantly reinforcing the offering of the paschal lamb, driving it home. And then we have, as St. Mary Magdalene opens the gospel, we have this dialogue in the sequence. Speak to us, witness of the resurrection. Mary Magdalene, tell us what you saw. And she tells us in that sequence, she's the dialogue. I've seen the angels announcing his resurrection. I have seen the sudarium. I have seen the shroud, which we call the Shroud of Turin. We have seen the empty tomb. We have heard the words to go to Galilee. Now, I would digress again because we want to talk to those who are and who hope to be custodians of the sacred Mass and liturgy. We hope that all of the details which you executed perfectly with great devotion, and now we alone are in the sanctuary for this Mass, we must love. We must love every rubric, willing to sacrifice all. And you've already done that. What sacrifices have you already made just to come here? That's only the beginning. The treasures that you were opened up before your eyes during this week, how many of those great graces touched your soul, lifted you up, made you say, I want this forever? Because our Lord wants you forever. All of us. But we speak now to the custodians who has to lead. And in a great moment like this, we have to take the liturgy as our example. The third lesson, remembering who sang the third lesson. Maybe it was the fourth lesson. I think it was the fourth. Was the reminder to the people of their entrance into the promised land. These are the last words of the prophecies before the making of the baptismal water and the baptism and a renewal of our baptismal vows. One of the last instructions. Of all the things from the Old Testament, Holy Mother of the Church, inspiration of the Holy Ghost, gives us are the words just before they're entering the promised land. And our Lord tells Joshua, I hope everyone knows, Yeshua, Jesus. Joshua is one of the Old Testament types of our Lord. His name, they're the same name. You heard me saying Joshua, Yeshua, Jesus. He is the one who led the people out of the captivity, out of the desert, into the promised land. Moses did not. Christ leads into the promised land, not the old law. That was a preparation. So that lesson tells us, Joshua, you are commanded to lead the people into the promised land. But the lesson goes on and says, Moses, tell the people something. And Moses tells them something. He says, you are a stiff-necked people. Even while I have been among you, you have rebelled against God. And so I know what's going to happen when I die. This is Moses telling the people. And he says, record what I'm saying and keep these words in the Ark of the Covenant so you always remember what you were like without God's help. Salvation history is very mysterious. Hopefully it has struck everyone, but we recall it striking us as children in grammar school, saying, what kind of people are these? They're witnessing a sea opening up and they walk through it. They're witnessing Moses strike the rock and they have water for 600,000 people. They get food every day in the desert where they can't grow anything. They see this tremendous column, a column that leads them through the desert. That's what this is, by the way. This is the sacramental. I didn't think of it now. Read in your missal what was happening while this was being blessed and done, the five wounds. This is the column that led us in from the darkness last night. And we, as grammar school children, what was wrong with these people? They're seeing all these things, and then they go ahead and make a molten calf? But since then, we have learned, hopefully you have, we're just like them. We're witnessing miracles right now. And it doesn't change us, but this time it's going to, right? We made our promises. But back to close, a little bit of a warning to the guardians and future guardians to remember that story of Joshua and Moses. A little reminder for the guardians. Moses was not permitted to lead the people into the promised land because he abused a sign, a sacramental, a mystery, a sign that God wanted the people to know. And Moses did not preserve that sign the way God wanted. And God said, because you have doubted my sign, you will not lead the people into the promised land. So, yes, the liturgy is great, but we, the guardians, must take great care. And just so we know what I referred to, our Lord, the people were screaming in the desert, Moses and Aaron prostrate before the Shekinah, the tabernacle in the desert. What are we to do? God tells them, Moses, take the staff and go out to the rock. It's all symbolizing. Can't describe it. And he says, go out to the rock and say to the rock, bring forth water for your people. The waters of baptism. What did Moses do? That's what our Lord told him to do. That was the rubric. That was the sign. The outward sign instituted by God to give grace through that water to the people. That the word of God Moses would speak would do that. What did Moses do? He's a great man, a great saint. But again, trusting himself. And he said, he did everything. He got to the rock, he had the staff, and he called out to the people, let us see
If we can draw water from the rock. And then he took the staff. He was not told to do that. And he hit the rock with the staff. It was all showing his lack of confidence in what God had said, that God's word would accomplish that. Now, of course, God foresaw all that, and that becomes the lance in the side of Christ. But for all of us, those every rubric, St. Teresa of Avila said, I would give my life 1,000 times for just one rubric of the Mass. She had the heart of a priest. By the way, we all have priest's hearts if we're baptized. But for you who want to be received, who have, we have to remember, to those who much is given, much is expected. So we want to, that's just a little thing for all of us to remember. But for all of the people, happy Easter. Father, all the priests, all the brothers, all the sisters, we are wishing everyone a great and happy Holy Easter and a new beginning. It's a new life, one that will lead us to heaven. May God bless you.